The title of the message this morning is Vessels of Love. Vessels of Love. I want to speak concerning the call of God for this entire assembly. This is what God has called every single person to in this assembly, to be a vessel of love. The devil, demons, sin, carnality, selfishness, jealousy, fear, and a whole host of other things have hindered us and robbed us greatly in this. They have hindered us terribly. The devil has battled us. He has come against us with discouragements, frustration, unworthiness to keep us from being these vessels. And it's not just since we've been saved either. It also reaches way back into our old lives. There's all sorts of things that happened in our old lives where demons came in. They came in to keep us from getting saved. And they also knew that if we did, this would hinder us once we did get saved. And these demons have been scheming a long time to rob us, to hinder us. Now, a vessel is a container for holding something. And we are vessels meant to hold God's love. That's what we are called to be. Each one of us. Now, what has been in our vessels? Well, there's been a multitude of things. Most every single one of these things have been contrary to God. I need your attention. I know that God wants to minister to you, and He wants you to have this picture and this concept in your mind and in your heart so that you can see more accurately what you really are called to be in God. Have you ever tried to pray without any direction in your mind or heart? You can't pray. Ever try to minister, try to go some direction in God without any direction? You can't go anywhere. God wants to give us the concepts, the pictures, the directions, so that we might get to be what He wants us to be. So please, listen carefully. We have been vessels filled with self-will. Self-will to the hilt. It has been overflowing and pouring out of us, and it has hindered God. Filled with independence. This is the kind of vessels we've been. And there is no exception. There's no exception. We've lived lives in sin. We've had all sorts of problems. I am so thankful, though. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. When I consider the calling of God upon our pastor and the things that that man has been able to escape, it gives me such appreciation for God that He would work all those in those thousands of ways to make it possible so that we could have a pastor like that. Oh, my friend, that is to the glory of God. So when I say this applies to everybody, I don't think some of these things apply to our pastor one straw. But to most every one else of us, they apply. We've pretty much all come to the same place. E-G-Y-P-T, Egypt, big letters and neon signs and all the allurements out there. And we've indulged in most every one of the things out there as well. We've been filled with rebellion. We've been filled with all manner of sin, all sorts of twisted sins, gross things, perverted things, nauseating things, sickening things, things that we once tasted and thought were good, and now we look at it and it's totally repulsive because now we see it as God sees it. We've been filled with wrong concepts. Our minds have been so scrambled by the world, the concepts in here have been so false, so twisted, so backwards, it is just unbelievable. We have been filled with wrong philosophy. The philosophy out in the world is so backwards, so contrary to God. And along with that, add deception. Deception after deception after deception after deception has filled this vessel. That's the way we've been. And probably one of the biggest hindrances, one of the biggest things that has filled us, and it goes back a long ways, and it involves all sorts of different things, I suppose. But when we got saved, we found God's love, and we wanted that love to pour through, and we did. That was fine. That's wonderful. That's what God wants. But in there somewhere, and through all sorts of different strategies of the devil, he got us to substitute human love for divine love. And we have been, generally speaking, and probably applies to most every single person, loving people with human love. And all the time we've been doing that, we've had a big blockade to the love of God. And so instead of having God's love pour through us, it's been human love. And human love won't do it. It doesn't satisfy us and doesn't satisfy them. And that has been a major strategy of the devil. People using their self-effort, their self-will, their own strength, their own love. And it's an abomination to God. It will not work. Human love will not work in a marriage. Human love will not work in a family. Human love will not be enough to empower a pastor to lead the sheep. It'll never work. And we've been trying to do it one-to-one and in Bible study groups, and there's been an awful lot of human love in these vessels, and human love is not the call of God. It's not the call of God. Human love will not do it. Human love is a counterfeit. And then you add demonic things in with it, and it makes it even worse. Now, we're to be vessels of love. What kind of love? Well, it's agape love. Vine says in his Greek dictionary concerning the word agape, that's the Greek word, main Greek word for love, the characteristic word of Christianity. And since the spirit of revelation has used it to express ideas previously unknown, inquiry into its use, whether in Greek literature or in the Septuagint, throws but little light upon its distinctive meaning in the New Testament. It is not a word that you can look through history of man and how he's used this word and find out the meaning of it. The spirit of revelation took this word out of the Greek language and he assigned a meaning to it that is so far beyond man. It's in another realm entirely. We're talking about a love that is really beyond definition. There is no real way to define this word. There's no way to really understand the depths except to experience them, except to move into them, except to yield to them. Now, there's a number of statements in Scripture that provide some vital insights and give definition. But we need heavenly revelation in order to understand even these Scriptures. Most everybody, basically speaking, knows John 3, verse 16. But how many people have the revelation of John 3, verse 16? Well, a lot of people would say, well, everybody does. Every Christian does. I say, not so. I say hardly any Christian has the revelation of John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We have had demons put up huge barricades against us to keep us from receiving God's love. You cannot understand John 3, verse 16 if you cannot receive God's love. If God's love is being thwarted all the time, being pushed aside all the time, being hindered all the time, you can't understand that verse. You cannot understand it. Intellectually is not the revelation in the verse. It's experiencing it. This is why deliverance is so important in this hour. So vitally important. Also in Romans it says, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's an incredible love. That is a phenomenal love. While we were yet sinners. But what has the devil done to us while we are yet Christians regarding the love of God? We begin to feel God doesn't love us. Such a lie of the devil. The workings of demons of condemnation and guilt and all sorts of other things. In John it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the real revelation in that verse is that Christ was saying, well, I'm going to give my life for you and I count you as friends. And he goes on and tells them that. But he wasn't going to lay down his life just for them. He was going to lay it down for his enemies. And this is what the scripture tells us to do, is to love our enemies. Now that is a love far beyond human love. You that think you understand the love of God, I am, and I'm not really speaking to you, I'm speaking to demons that would come and hinder your mind right now. You and I do not really understand this love. We need to pray and really open up that God would give us revelation of His love. Don't let your intellect rob you, because demons are there trying to tell you, you understand that. Yes, you've read those verses. So have I. All of us have. But that is not in itself where the revelation is. It's got to come by the Spirit of God. Jesus, then beholding him, this is a verse in Mark, said, one thing thou lackest, sell whatsoever thou hast, take up the cross and follow me. Now this is Jesus speaking to the rich man. And it says, beholding him, loved him. And what did he do? What proved his love? He spoke the truth to him. Just like the book of Ephesians tells us to do, speaking the truth in love. Now, there are a lot of people that say they have love, and they won't speak the truth. They know certain truths in the Word of God, and they won't speak them. They don't really have the love of God. If they had the love of God, they'd speak those things without considering fear or favor of man. And God is going to bring people to that place. And I'm going to mention one a little bit later. In 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that this love of God, this agape love, suffers long, envies not, vaunts not itself, seeks not its own, thinks no evil, behaves not unseemly, rejoices not in iniquity, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. That goes right along with Galatians 5, where it says faith works by love, endures all things. It is kind. It is not puffed up. It is not easily provoked. And finally, it never fails. Now, human love does not apply in any way to these things. It does not apply. It does not apply in the depth to which God is talking. The Bible tells us that God is love. God is love. This is something of God Himself. This is not something of the human realm. This is something of the divine realm. And He wants to put that in us. That's what His call is. This love has only been seen in one man perfectly. Now, it was seen in others to a degree, but only in one perfectly, and that, of course, was Christ. But Moses was willing to be blotted out of God's book for Israel. He went up before God and he said, blot my name out of the book. And God said, that can't be done. I judge each man according to their own sin. I can't do that. And it also applies because Moses was not a fit candidate in order to be the sacrifice for the whole nation of Israel. But that was love. That was not. I don't think that was something that he manufactured in his own mind. And I don't think this came out of his human love for Israel. He was not real thrilled with what Israel had just done. They had just built the golden calf. And they were down there naked. And they were doing all sorts of wrong things. He didn't feel human love toward them. He felt God's love. He was being a vessel of love. Joseph loved his brethren even after they sold him. When they came down to Egypt, he loved them. He loved them. That was not human love. That was not human love. That was divine love. Abraham was willing to offer Isaac. That was not human love. That was divine love. He would not have been willing if it was just based on human love. If it was based on human love, Isaac was more tangible than God, and he would have said, no deal. He would have said, I will keep Isaac. And I'm sorry, but Isaac is right here, and I've been with him a long time. He's my nephew, and that's where reality is because I can see him and I can touch him, and I don't see you, and he wouldn't have done it. But he was willing to do it because he was a vessel of love, and that's the truth in it. Jeremiah kept preaching even though there was nary a convert. There was hardly one that ever paid him any heed, and he kept preaching, and he kept preaching, and he kept preaching, and some people think they can relate to that because they have a little bit of difficulty on the job. My friend, you can't even begin to relate to it. We're going to relate to it. It's going to happen to many of us in many different situations. But this was the love of God. It was God's love in that man that he kept preaching. And when he said, you've deceived me and I'm not going to preach anymore, and it was burning inside of him and he couldn't forbear, that was the love of God. That was not human love. It was not human love. Human love would never do such a thing. Human love has nothing to do with it. It's totally out of the picture. It's going to be given the big boot. It's going to be swept out. We've got to have God's love. Jesus kept reaching out to the Jews even though they persecuted him horribly. He kept reaching out to them. In every city, he knew what was going to happen. He knew in every city what was going to happen. It only took a dunderhead not to know what was going to happen. It happened in city after city after city after city after city. And he quit. No, he didn't quit. The love of God. He was a vessel of love. That's what he was. This is a high calling. This is not weak, willy-nilly Christianity. And it's nothing human strength will do either. Human strength won't do it. The legalist is not going to be able to do it. The man trusting his own strength, his own mind, his own intellect, he won't do it. He won't even begin to do it. This is a total dependence upon God. Total dependence. Consider our pastor and his wife. Consider them. Love pours through them all the time. Pours through them all the time. Pours through them all the time. It is pouring through all the time. If you have other thoughts in your mind contrary to that, rebuke them. Because they are demons. They are lies. They have been tremendous examples in the face of all manner of attacks. All manner of attacks. Physical attacks, spiritual attacks, all sorts of pressures, persecutions, animosity, bitterness, blame, accusation. And they love, and they love, and they love. Each sermon is filled with love. Each exhortation is filled with love. Each time Barbara exercised the gift of the Spirit, filled with love, the love of God. How many hours has she spent praying for us? How many hours? Human love would never do that. Human love could never do such a thing. They have spent themselves almost to the point of literal physical death. That is love, not human love. I am trying to emphasize something. Are you with me? I hope so. Human love won't do it. Some of you got a lot of love. You have love. You've been a nice, kind, considerate person. That will not carry you in the ministry except about four steps, and you'll fall flat on your face and you'll say, it's not worth it. The people aren't worth it. They're not willing. They're not yielding. They're not following. And you'll quit. And I guarantee it. And it's happened to thousands, literally thousands of ministers around the world. And it's happening by the hundreds every single year, probably by the thousands every year, throughout all sorts of denominations with born again, spirit-filled people, because they're not really tied in to God's love and being energized by His Spirit, and they're quitting. They're quitting the ministry to go and have some job out in the secular world. They're missing the call of God. We need to pray for them. We need to undergird every man that's in the ministry. We need to pray that God would be able to break through into their lives with new power, new revelation, new anointing, that His love would come thundering down upon them, buckets of it, that He'd come with gushers upon them. That's our responsibility, to support the people in the ministry. Somebody stands up and they minister. They're pouring out their heart. It may look easy. It may look fun. It may look appealing. They're pouring themselves out. It is an incredible expenditure of energy. It's an incredible giving of self. But if it's just self that's being given, it won't amount to anything. It's got to be God. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would our assembly be without our beloved pastor's wife and her ministry of intercession? Where would this assembly be today? And where would all of you that have now stepped into the ministry of intercession be? And where would our church be without all those intercessors? Our church would be in dire straits without all those intercessors. Those intercessors are a main part of our church that keeps it going on in God. And Barbara has gone through things over the years of being so horribly misunderstood by so-called men of God in this assembly with spirits of legalism and spirits of criticalness and judgmentalness that didn't have 1 ounce of spirituality in a certain sense regarding the realm of the Spirit. And they'd see Barbara just in the Spirit interceding, and it's not a pleasant thing many times to watch in the natural, and it was never meant to be a pleasant thing to watch. It shows somebody going through excruciating pain, and there's an agony of soul, and there's an expenditure of energy. It's not pleasant to watch a child being born, unless it's your own child. Or unless you've been there a few hundred times and you enjoy it. You know, you enjoy seeing the joy and that kind of ecstasy of it. But if you have a group of people and you say, we're going to have a movie here on childbirth, and it's going to show the whole thing, natural childbirth, and we want you all to watch, most people's stomachs will turn partway through and say, thanks, but no thanks. I will wait until it's my own child. I don't really care to watch it. It's not pleasant. There's blood everywhere. There's water. It's messy. It's not that exciting. It's not a pleasant thing. Many times that is essentially what intercession looks like. There's an agonizing. There's a pouring out. It's not pleasant. It's not something that you look at and say, boy, that's appealing. That's a ministry for me. Boy, I can't wait to have that ministry. People don't want that kind of ministry. Unless the Spirit of God had been drawing all these people that have been coming into intercession, we would not have all these intercessors. And where would we be if Barbara had turned her back on the call of God because of criticism? What caused her to keep doing it? She's a vessel of love. She is filled with God's love, and she has made commitments to Him, and she's paying her vows to Him because the love of God is in her life. Without that, I don't know where our assembly would be. I don't know where it would be. I don't know where our pastor would be. She has prayed. She is giving her life for her husband, which is our pastor. We are a fortunate people. We are a fortunate people. We need to have our eyes open. We need to get these wrong concepts out. We need to see what's going on. We've got to see what's happening by the Spirit. You've got to see what's happening in your life. Some people, they're just going through life in a cloud. They meet some girl, and then that's all of life. And they're told over and over again, now stop dating. It's not meant to work. You're not going to get there. You got unwillingness. And I don't mean it's not meant to work from God. It's just by looking at it, there's unwillingness, immaturity, all sorts of things. But they're so in love. They're so in love. I heard of one case, I don't know when it happened, but they were counseled something like once a week for a whole year. And the bottom line is the counsel don't get married, so they went and got married anyway. 2 weeks after they're married, they're calling the same counselors up for marriage counseling. Now one is, see, that just shows selfishness. It shows a cloud. It shows demonic deception. We can't afford to live that way. Now, I don't know who that couple is. I don't know how they're doing today. I hope they're making it. I don't want them to be gone. I don't want their marriage to fall apart. But we cannot keep flying against the truth and the proper standards and the things that God is showing us to do and say, well, it'll work anyway. It's not going to work anyway. It was never meant to work anyway. The only reason it has in some cases is the tremendous grace and mercy of God. Tremendous grace and mercy of God. Where would any of us be without that? I don't know. Many would be gone. Many would be lost if it wasn't for the grace of God, the mercy of God. Hundreds of men of God and women of God are being made through their pattern and through their example. Look at these elders. You know who they're being made into? In a right way? They're being made into a pattern that's seen in the pastor. Is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? I'll tell you, it's wonderful. I'm one of them. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Not one of these elders wants to be anywhere else. They want to be right here. They are thrilled with this move of God. They got their beanbag working up here. They're in the scriptures. They know this is a move of God, and they're thrilled to be patterning their lives in the certain right ways in the various areas according to their pastor. He's been an example. That's the way it always is. No matter what congregation you talk about, the people become like their pastor to a very large degree. Look at most people out there. They're unstudied, no prayer life, no zeal, no anointing. Why? Because unfortunately, their pastor's been robbed of all those things. Oh, we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. Now, the marvelous thing about it, when you get down to the bottom line, they're not looking for the praise of man. They didn't go to Earl Thurner and say, now, Earl, maybe Friday night you can get up and give a spiel about us so we can get these people going. That was God moving Friday night. And this was when I had this message, the essence of it Friday night, and then when that was happening, oh, this just burst into my heart, and I knew I was going to put this in here because this is the message. This is a major part of this message. And I'm not here to praise them or they're not looking for my praise, but oh, I am just thankful to God. I am praising the Lord Jesus Christ for the pastor and for his wife. They know where they are in God, and they know when attacked. That their trust is in Him. And they know where to turn when they're attacked. And they're not turning to man's praise when they get attacked. They turn to God. And God has used it to make them more dependent upon Him. And He's been able to bring them into new places in the Spirit. He's been able to turn the workings of the devil right around against Him. And they know that some of the sheep are deceived. And they know that some of the sheep are being hurt. And they know that that's the reason why some of these attacks come. So they don't take it personally. They know it's the work of the devil, but it still hurts. And when those hurts come, they know where to go. They keep turning to Jesus. And we've got to be there to keep helping them. We've got to be there to keep praying for them, to keep undergirding them. These words really are so inadequate. They're so inadequate. But we must learn from those examples that God has given us in our assembly. We've been given many examples of people really dedicating their lives to Jesus. And we must learn from those examples. And it begins with the pastor and his wife. Now, let me give you a couple of other examples. Jimmy Swaggart is a man of God. Now, I don't necessarily agree with everything the man is doing, but that is totally beside the point. You know what this man did? This man is the first man that I know of that has publicly spoken out on Roman Catholicism. First man that I know of, first one in the charismatic movement, a well-known man of God. Big public ministry. They were polled, and he's been labeled the number one Christian minister as far as people watching him in the United States. So that's a big ministry. And he came to a decision, and this is out of his own mouth. I read in his publication. He felt that he had to bring something on Catholicism. He felt that. He felt it from God. Then he realized that a lot of his supporters were Catholics. A lot of people watching his program are Catholics, and a lot of them aren't saved. Now, I have a hard time figuring that out, but that's the way it is. Catholics are under a severe deception. Severe deception. And he had to decide, okay, now God called me to preach the word, and I have these people supporting the ministry. I need the support to keep preaching the word. But I need the support of him more than I need the support of these. And he realized that his call was to preach whatever God put upon his heart. And he put out a very large article in his January issue of the Evangelist magazine. Now that was a big step. It did not strike me until just the other day when I was reading his latest article how big of a step that was. That was a big thing. That was a huge step. Now, it's hard for most of us to really grasp how big that is because we've already been taught so well. We already know what the Catholic system is. We love the Catholic and hate the system. And we want them to give their lives to Jesus Christ and come into proper revelation, and they'll leave that system and they'll end up in heaven. It'll be a glory to God. We already know that. We have no problems with who the Pope is and what his real spiritual place is and all of that. We are not deceived in that matter, basically speaking. So for us to make statements about it just seems so normal. It's a just easy thing to do. But that's not the way it is in the charismatic movement. It isn't that way at all out there. People are extolling the Pope, they're extolling the priest, they're extolling the whole Catholic Church. It is incredible the things that are being said out there. And he's part of that charismatic movement in a certain sense. He's not really one with it, he's not really moving in it, but by name and by being a charismatic, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, he's part of it in that sense. And he wrote that article. And then he just wrote an answer to it after thousands of letters came in. And his answer, I thought, was so well done. I thought it was anointed. He dealt with a number of key points. And he said, from all these letters, it's obvious. And he said it with love, but he said it straight. And I think God really gave it to him. I think about 99% of that article was God and maybe a few things his own mind. But again, that's no big problem. That's to be expected. We're not perfect. We're not totally yielded. We're not getting every single word from God. We get a few of our own words in there. It muddles up a few things, but God's able to override that and handle that. But he said, from all these letters, it's obvious that the Catholics do not know what salvation is. And then he dealt with it, and he showed them what salvation is. He said, it's obvious that they don't know the Scriptures. And he dealt with that, and he dealt with a couple of other things, and he had some questions and answers. It was very clear, and it was right to the point, and he wasn't hedging on the truth. Now that's a man who's being made into a vessel of love. He would not do that if he was a legalist. And if he was a legalist and he was doing it, it wouldn't have had the same spirit. He could do it and be a legalist, but that article had a spirit of love in it. That article was coming with the right spirit. It had anointing on it. It had wisdom in it. It had the proper kind of statements. God was giving that man what to say. The same thing is true with David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson, his entire ministry has changed over the past number of years, and it shows that this man is a vessel of love. His latest news article on the sufferings of Christ shows that he's continuing to do real business with God. He mentioned some other things about certain ministries. He mentioned one, he didn't give the name of it, but they had some New York public relations firm is now going to advertise this ministry, and he said, oh, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. I don't think he used quite those words. But, see, it shows that he's not going to compromise. And it came with the right spirit. Now, see, when you're a public figure like that in the ministry, to speak these kind of things with the right spirit, you've got to have the love of God. And that's what this man is becoming. He's becoming a vessel of love. And that's the call of God for every saint worldwide. Now, we need to pray for people like Pat Robertson. We need to pray for Jimmy Baker. We need to pray for these men of God that have public ministries that aren't taking all the right turns. They're not taking all the right turns, and they're not being filled with the fullness of God like they should be, and they're not getting the revelations in certain areas that they need, and they need us to pray for them. We need to realize they are part of us. That's part of the move of God. And we don't want them to fall and become a reproach to the name of Jesus. We want them to be vessels of love. Oh, how I'd be thrilled to have 700 Club have the exact same anointing and exact same revelation as Community Chapel, and vice versa. And same thing with the PTL Club and all these other ones. And I'd be thrilled for them to win 5 billion souls, and whatever God has for them to win, fantastic. And whoever God wants to heal through them and deliver through them, praise the Lord. There's more than enough in the harvest field for all of us. And we need to pray for them. Now let me talk about for just a minute what it will cost. What will all of this cost? We've got to die to self. We've got to die. We really do. We have got to die to self. We have got to come to the cross. Now we have heard these things. But we must come to grips with these things. It's not going to be, okay, we've heard all these sermons, and now here's a different sermon, and there's going to be a different method. It's not going to be a different method. It's not going to be a different pathway. It's going to be the same things. And God is telling us, okay, we've got to come to grips with it. We've got to do it. We've got to stop beating around the bush. We've got to stop dipping our little tippy toes out there in the world. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to see what's really going on. We've got to see where we're going. If you've made a commitment to live for Jesus Christ with all of your life, then live for Jesus Christ with all of your life. Stop trusting in securities in the world. Stop trusting in job security. Stop looking to materialism. If you can be blessed and have certain material possessions, fine and dandy, no problem. But when those things begin to captivate your mind and take your time and all sorts of other things, brother, you're being robbed. You're being robbed. And I think we've all been robbed to some degree along the way. We've been diverted. We've got to give up regarding human effort. Throw human effort in the garbage can. Take human effort and discard it. Those who help themselves, you know, and then God will help them, however that nonsensical, idiotic, deceived little statement goes, is not the truth. That has never captured the heart of it. God helps them who help themselves. That misses the whole point. Misses the whole point. That always comes back to human effort being the key. Human effort is not the key. Human effort is one of the major hindrances in our Christian life. Using our own strength and all sorts of other things. See, only the potter can do this work. Only the potter can do it. Only Jesus Christ can do it. Only Jesus Christ can make your marriage what you want it to be. Only Jesus Christ can make your family what you want it to be. Only He can make you a vessel of love. We need to keep giving God time and opportunity to do this work. When you come to church, you're giving God time and opportunity. When you stay after church and you're worshiping down here by the piano or praying in the back prayer room, you are giving God time and opportunity. And I will guarantee that every time you do it from your heart, not based on some sort of a legalistic checklist, okay, Lord, I just want to make sure you know I've checked in here and here I am, and so now this keeps me in good standing in heaven, but you come here just because you want Him. You're just responding to Him. Something's being done. Something is being done in your life, no matter what you feel. No matter what lies are in your mind, no matter what you're going through, I will guarantee that God is doing something. Because you're giving Him time and opportunity. I will guarantee that every time you do that, something is being done. I will guarantee it every single time, and there's not one exception. The only thing that makes you feel like there's exceptions is personal carnality, personal thinking, and demon spirits that get in to confuse the whole issue. One major, major thing that we have to do, and we touched on this Friday night, we must put the past behind us. From this moment, you must look and say, okay, now, God has wanted me to be a vessel of love ever since He called me. That's what He's called us all to be a vessel filled with His love and have that love being outpoured. That's what He wants. And we have all failed. We've all failed. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to go into condemnation. I'm not going to go into guilt. I'm not going to go into despair. I'm going to repent wherever it's been my fault. Where I believe lies, I'm going to repent. And I'm going to turn to Him and I'm going to trust His forgiveness. I'm going to trust His grace. I'm going to trust His mercy. And I'm going to be a vessel of love. I'm going to put the past behind me. And if I have to keep doing that every day because I fail again on the succeeding day and then fail some more here and fail a little bit more down the line, that's what I'm going to do. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. That was one of the main things that we were dealing with Friday night, is dealing with what the Bible says. Will we do what the Bible says? The Bible says, Paul said, this one thing I do, I put the past behind me. And he didn't mean just the past of his old life. He meant the past of every failing in his present life. And he's putting them behind him. And some things we have to put behind us are the past of our successes. Some people aren't pressing on in God because they've had success. And so they're still glorying in the success. But we need to do what Frank Bartleman said in his book on Azusa Street, that each day he forgets the failings and he forgets the successes. And he just goes on with each day being brand new in God. And we need to do the same thing. It's the call of God. We have to do it. We need to get delivered. Are you coming to grips with your deliverances? Are you still giving God time and opportunity for Him to deliver you? Are you? You must come to grips with this. If you're not, you have got to make these prayer meetings. You must still have people pray for you. You must practice self-deliverance. When I talked about us being vessels filled with all sorts of things, a lot of those things in some people are still there. In other people, a few of those things are still there. We've got to get more of those things out so more of God's love can come in. We're not going to have the serpent and the dove as we're residing together in the way that God wants. He's not going to say, well, it doesn't mean you have to get totally delivered before you ever have God's love. If that was the case, nobody would have God's love. We'd still be just seeking God for deliverance, and then maybe one day somebody finally got totally delivered and they'd have the love of God. But that might be a real cause of despair for everybody else, because the pathway of getting delivered might seem so long that they would be very tempted to give up. But what does God do? As we seek Him and do what we know we are supposed to do, and we're starting to get our deliverances, what do we start finding along the way? He starts pouring out a measure of His love. Get more deliverance and there's more love. Get more deliverance and there's more love. But there's one other factor there. You get delivered and you get a measure of His love. Now what are you going to do with that love? You have to start giving it out. You have to start finding ways to give it out. If you won't do that, then it kind of closes down the whole process. So that's another part of it. Commit yourself to love with the love you now possess. The love of God you have right now today, and every single one of you that have been part of this assembly for any length of time, and any visitors here that have been walking with God for any substantial length of time, you have already had a measure of God's love poured out in your life. Now you need to use that love. You need to start reaching out and giving that love to your brethren right now, beginning this very day. And I'll talk about various ways in which to do that. If we don't keep giving out the love that He's given us, then really very little is going to be available to us. We're not going to find more coming. It doesn't come in just one big outpouring. One day you don't have the love of God and you're not a vessel of love, and then the next day you have the love of God and you're a vessel of love. It doesn't happen that way. Consider the pastor's vision where he was superimposed with Christ. He felt like he could love anyone. What does that tell us? We need to be superimposed with Christ. We need to have Christ formed in us. That's the only way to love. We are being called, brethren, to some very difficult ministries. We're going to deal with some very difficult things. You know why? Because we have a lot of truth. God has given us a lot of light. And it's going to cause us to face some severe persecution. And we're going to have brethren turn against us. And at certain points, on certain doctrines, they'll come along so far, and then they'll say no. And then they'll battle us. And another group will be able to carry a little bit further, and then they'll say no. It's going to happen with certain groups of people. It's going to happen. It's not God's will. It doesn't have to happen, but it's going to happen. It's already happened many, 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 many times throughout the history of the human race, of God's plan with man here upon earth, and it's going to happen some more. And when those people turn against us, we're still going to have to love them. And some are going to turn against us, and because Christ is going to flow through us, they'll then repent and come. They'll recognize they're wrong, because they won't find demons coming out of us attacking them like demons are coming out of them attacking us. They'll find God's love pouring out upon them. And you won't find us taking our Bible college notebooks and just hammering over the head. We're going to be loving them. And there'll be some that said no, and then they'll turn, and they'll come, and they'll see God in us, and they'll come, and they'll put down those doctrinal barriers. That's going to happen. But without Christ's love, it won't happen. It will not happen unless we are these vessels of love. Remember, you are not your own. You're not your own. We've all been bought with a price. We've got to get right down to business here and say, okay, Lord, my life is yours. I had such a marvelous time down here praying this morning. I had this sermon just flooding my mind, and I was singing all sorts of things, truths from this sermon, and it was helping me so much. And I was seeing myself as this vessel of love and loving people and being able to love God and receive His love. I was having a wonderful time. I don't know why Russ ever had to get up here. But I'll forgive him. Maybe next week. I'm not sure, though. Are you willing to be hurt and to be misunderstood? Are you? Now, that's a serious question. You can't give a flippant answer. Are you willing to be hurt? You ever been in a situation where you felt, okay, I am willing, then you thought about it a little bit, And if I say this and they don't accept it, what's going to happen? They're going to turn against me. They're going to turn on me. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to get hurt. Am I willing to do that? And will I keep showing them love? Will I keep loving them? Even when now they used to be my friend, now they've turned on me, will I keep loving them? See, that is a very serious thing here. That's part of counting the cost in this whole matter. Remember, this is what Christ endured. He endured this. Not my will, but thy will be done. What hung upon the cross? A vessel of love. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those words are so profound. That is so incredible. Consider what they were doing to him and what he said, how he responded. The Holy Spirit has put it into our hearts to love. He's done that. He's put it into all of your hearts to love. And we need to keep opening up to his love and then let that love pour through. See, I want to love. You want to love. But the devil and self, it's gotten in the way. There are so many people. As I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking about it, praying this morning. I was thinking about all the people. Oh, I want to love my mother. Can you relate to that?
Yeah.
Not with my love. My love hasn't done a thing to impact my mother. The only thing that's going to touch her is the love of God.
Yeah.
Can you picture your father, your mother, other relatives? Can you think of all the times you've been hindered in loving them? Can you think of all the times the devil's come in there? Over something that you blurted out of your mouth at the wrong time, over some doctrine, some other thing, and now they think we're all crazy. And now you want, how do you find a way to love them? There's just that big barrier. Somehow God made me a vessel of love. What about the people on your job? Can you see people on your job you've never been able to love? I don't mean just say, hi, Harvey, hi, Sally, but have genuine love somehow pour through. Can you picture those people? Can you see them? I can see them. I can see those people, and I need the love of God to touch them. I can see my Bible college classes. Oh, I've got to have God's love for those people. It's not have notebook, will travel. Some theological expert. Who cares? Who cares? Nobody cares for that. Really, deep down in their soul and spirit, they don't care for that. We need to be loved. We've got to be these vessels of love. What about your neighbors? Have you been witnessing to all of your neighbors? People in your apartment, really loving them? Praying and asking God to show you ways in which to really love them? Doing this consciously? Seeking God in this matter? Or have there been big barriers and failings? And so we've kind of given up. A lot of people have just kind of given up. But God wants us to put all that behind us and say, okay, from this point on, Lord, somehow by your Spirit, make me this vessel of love so I can love these people. It's what we need. I had two prayer meetings this last week, and both of them dealt with this very thing in my life. And I have been so hindered by the devil in being able to receive love. I have been battled. And in one prayer meeting, the person praying for me, there was a couple of people, but she felt that it went all the way back to my childhood. And as I was thinking about that, I could just see all the things in my childhood, which just where I was battered and bruised, not physically, but in my soul, in my spirit, in my mind, in my heart. And in these prayer meetings, I was having to deal with this very thing. And the one person said, God's going to make you into a vessel of love.
Yeah.
And that's what he's going to make us all into.
Yeah.
He's going to make us all into it.
Yeah.
Not just for the pastors, not just for the elders, it's for all of us. It's the call of God. If you're not a vessel of love to your wife, your marriage will never be what it was intended to be. If you're not a vessel of love to your husband, if you're not a vessel of love to your children, how many parents have had real hindrances in loving their children? A lot of you have. A lot of you have. Terrible hindrances, demonic spirits, selfishness. That was one of the main things this person saw in my own life, was just selfishness. Become selfish. You become a recluse. You just kind of end up living your own little world. And the demons take advantage of that. See, they're right there. They're promoting that. They're working on that. And same thing happens in the family. The parents are then end up separated from their children. And have you ever felt the ones you want to love the most, you end up loving the least? Ever had that horrible experience? And the same thing we feel with God. Oh, how much we want to love Him and experience His love, and sometimes that's the love we experience the least. That shows the attacking of the devil. And it shows also we're not finding the right way to get there. So somehow the devil has gotten us on wrong pathways, because the right pathway gets us there. The wrong pathways don't, they just won't work. Remember, there are hundreds and hundreds of ways to love. Love is not in just one category of do this. A smile can be a tremendous display of love. I mean, a real smile. You love someone, you see someone, you feel the love, and you just go up, shake their hand, and there's a smile, a real smile, not painted on in the back dressing room. There's no back dressing room, by the way, but painted on somewhere. It doesn't do anything. A real smile coming from a heart of love can minister. It's amazing how such small things can minister. Just a word of encouragement. You ever just feel to say to somebody, boy, that was a wonderful song you sang, and didn't do it? And then there's times you've done it, and it just blessed them, it helped them. That's being a vessel of love. Yeah. Praying for someone, whether laying hands on them or staying there in your pew and praying for them. That's being a vessel of love. Yeah. You can be a vessel of criticalness.
Right.
See, you can be that. Why not be a vessel of love? Right. Same thing's true in witnessing, helping people around their homes, all sorts of ways, hundreds and thousands of ways. God wants to make this a constant and continual thing. And the most marvelous thing about this, he's going to teach us how to do it. He's going to teach us really how to love the pastor. He's going to teach us how to love Marvin Williams. He's going to teach us how to love Don Kimbrough. He's going to teach us how to love these elders. He's going to teach us how to love one another. He's going to teach us how to love the unsaved. He's going to teach us how to love our neighbors. He's going to teach us how to love our relatives. He's going to give us the wisdom. He's going to give us what to say, what not to say, when to say it, how to say it. That's what God wants to do. Now, does Doug McCallum's testimony apply? Could you relate to witnessing to people in the flesh? I could. I don't know too many people who can't. Might be a few somewhere. And a few here. God's done some marvelous things in you, in your lives, and I'm not trying to discredit any of that. But we need to be taught. He's going to give us the direction. He's going to give us the understanding. I don't know how to love my wife. I need God to show me how to love my wife more. I don't know how to love my children. I need God to show me. I need to be a vessel of love. I've got to have his wisdom. I've got to have his understanding. He's got to be the one directing me. That's what we need. We need it. It's a dependence upon God. It's a dependence upon him. It's allowing the Spirit of God to move in our lives. How many times have we stuck our feet in our mouths? Boy, that's pretty embarrassing. You've done that a few times? Shoe leather never tasted very good. I mean, you might be really hungry, but it still doesn't taste very good. And ketchup doesn't help it either. The vessels right now are being cleansed and prepared. Your vessels are being cleansed right now. Some of the things you're going through, God's cleansing you. He's preparing you. Oh, is it painful when the old vessel is rusted and spotted and it's had some icky liquid in there for a long time? Or try to clean something with dried milk or some other food and it's on that plate and, honey, maybe you can clean this. That's what I say. No, I don't do that. We put it in the washing machine. That's what we do. The dishwasher, of course. I've wanted to put some things in the washing machine, but my wife wouldn't let me. That's not true. I'm fibbing. Please forgive me. But the cleansing process is not fun. Here you build this building. Some of our lives are like buildings, and the inspector came along and he condemned it. And now God's sending in the wrecking crew. You know what the funnest part in knocking down a building is? Knocking it down. You know what the worst part is? Cleaning up the mess. That's part of what God is having to do. And he tells us to get in there, and he's going to energize our hands and give us the direction. It's not fun to clean up garbage. It's not fun to clean out a vessel, pick up all the rubble. It's not pleasant. But that's some of what God is doing in our lives right now. And it's important. It's absolutely vital. We've got to see what God is doing. We've got to see it. Don't quit. Don't despair. Don't give up. It's all part of the process. God is wanting to get all the fears out, all the doubts, all the condemnation, and every other thing that's been hindering us. God is waiting to pour in his love. He's poured in measures, but oh, God wants to pour in his love. It is not Keith Johnson and others in music ministry that are just thinking so much about the love of God, and so they're making up all these songs. These songs are by the Spirit of God. God is doing it. God is giving these songs. and he's trying to tell us something. He's telling you, and he's telling me, I want to pour my love into your lives. But I've got to get the vessels cleansed. I've got to get them prepared. There are people, they've already left during the cleansing time. During the time of preparation, they quit. Oh, they're out there in sin. They quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Back there, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. I don't care what you're going through. Don't quit. God's not done. And when he's done, you'll be glad you didn't quit. You'll be glad. Some of you haven't received the healings you want. You haven't received the deliverances you want. You haven't gotten filled with the Holy Spirit yet or whatever. God's going to do it. God's going to heal you. God's going to raise you up. He's going to do it. Keep seeking him. Vessels of love, glorifying God, honoring Christ, defeating the devil, and saving the lost. It's being done. You people that have reached out to me and you've prayed for me and encouraged me, you've been vessels of love. My pastor's been a vessel of love to me. He has shown me so much love, and I don't know where I'd be without that love. That's a fantastic thing. The conclusion of this entire matter is a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's what it's going to be. So let's all make a decision, a deep, heartfelt decision, deep, deep within our hearts, deep within our lives, that we're going to be these vessels of love. We're going to be these vessels of love. We're going to be these vessels of love. Hallelujah.